The American baritone Stephen Powell is a veteran of the world's great opera stages. He has released an album now which is focused on art songs, and it's called American Composers at Play. I'm pleased to say Stephen Powell is here with me. We're going to listen to some of the selections from the album. But first, Stephen, I want to welcome you to FM 91.
Well, thank you. Good to be here, Brett.
Well, this album is called American Composers at Play. Features music by four living American composers, William Bolcom, Ricky Ian Gordon, Lori Laitman, and John Musto. And the title itself kind of gives a hint as to what's going on here, because these composers are at play, not only enjoying themselves and sharing their music, but actually playing the piano with you as well.
Yes, exactly.
What was the impetus for bringing this recording together? I mean, it's quite a project.
Well, I had this idea for years, really, because, you know, as singers in Western literature, or Western musical tradition, we mostly sing pieces of composers who've passed away already. We sing a lot of old music from centuries past. So, especially within the community of American music, I thought, why don't we have more representations of the people who are still with us? I mean, there's a prolific writing by all four of these composers. But what I thought was really interesting was that, hey, these four people are excellent pianists, and it's not often that you get to collaborate with a living composer. So I had built up relationships with all four of these people over the years in my career through various professional and personal acquaintances. And I thought, why don't I give them a call and see if they'd be up for this? I just thought this would be a great idea. As part of the other aspect of this project was that I'm getting on in years, and all of us are sort of up there, as it were, in age. And here we are, still producing, still have so much to say as artists. And I think it's important to represent that, because so often societies, the works become passé. People want to hear what's new, what's the latest, you know, what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. And I heard people in passing lately talking about how Barber was, oh, I don't want to hear that aria again, or Menotti, or people that you and I used to sing a lot of in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I thought, oh, God, here's these great composers that we have that are living, and that can't happen. That just can't happen. So now that I'm teaching at Manus at the New School in New York, you know, I would say things to my students. I would throw names out of old singers and other composers, and they'd look at me with, you know, complete blank expressions, not knowing who these names were. And I thought, okay, I think I need to implement this idea that's been brewing in my head for so long. So all those things combined were really part of the impetus for the project, but also just the sheer joy of being able to collaborate with the creator, which we have so little chance to do. So I thought of this idea. I chose people, obviously, that had the pianistic skills to perform their works with me. Both John Musto and William Bolcom were known for their abilities as a pianist in addition to their compositional skills. And Lori also, and Ricky also, they didn't really offer themselves as performers, but they had the skills to do so. So with a little hand-wringing, a little, you know, a little bit of my charm, I got Ricky and Lori to commit. And so I really have to thank them for their willingness to share in my ideas with this, because otherwise, obviously, this would not have come to fruition.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that you've gathered these four composers that have very different compositional voices, but they're bringing these wonderful poems to light. I mean, it's not just the music that is American. You also have some fantastic poetry here by American writers.
That was part of the project as well. I had to be careful that it didn't appear to be nationalistic, but in these times, I thought it was also important to remind us of the artistic output of our country and the historical elements of our gifts to the world through the arts. So I did want to make this quite American, and I did, you're correct, choose just American poets. I tried to include, you know, women and men and be as ecumenical and diverse as possible. And I used American performers, Charlie Nidich, the clarinetist, Jason Viol, the guitarist, and the Ataka Quartet. Everybody's American. So it was an additional aspect to it, to have that kind of input, especially now. I think it's needed.
Well, let's do some listening. I want to cue up the second track on the CD. This is music by Ricky Ian Gordon. It's a song called Souvenir, which has been around for a while, but I take it that he made this arrangement with the cello and piano for this recording. Is that true?
I think he might have had ideas for it prior to the recording, but he asked that we do it and premiere it in this context. Yeah. So, but it had never been done, and I don't think it was actually finished before we decided to include it.
This is with the cellist from the Ataka Quartet, Andrew Yee, and Ricky at the piano, and you, Stephen Powell, of course, singing the song Souvenir. You're on FM 81.
Just a rainy day or two in a windy tower.
That's music of Ricky Ian Gordon. We heard Souvenir for baritone and piano with cello. Baritone Stephen Powell and pianist Ricky Gordon playing his own music along with cellist Andrew Yee. Andrew Yee is from the Ataka Quartet, and I'm talking with Steve Powell on the phone about this wonderful new album, American Composers at Play. And Steve, you've got the Ataka String Quartet here. You mentioned guitarist Jason Viau, clarinetist Charles Nidich. I mean, these are internationally acclaimed musicians that you've brought together for this recording. Can you tell us a little bit how that came to be, how you approached these folks and had them play this music with you?
Yes, absolutely. It was quite the process. Choosing the repertoire for the album was arduous. You know, I wanted to represent each composer well. I wanted to try to get the same amount of time on the CD for each composer. And so choosing the repertoire was fairly critical in obtaining that goal. But I also wanted to represent different aspects of their compositional style and also just their diversity and their abilities to write for not just the voice, but for other instruments. So in came, for instance, John Musto's cycle with guitar. He had only, I believe, had it recorded once before. And in speaking to him, he gave me the recording and I listened to it. And I just thought it was so different and also just a fantastic piece of music for both the instrument and the voice that he composed, and I was drawn to it immediately. I found Jason Viau through a composer friend of mine, Jonathan Leshnoff, who lives in Baltimore, who I've sung, I sang the Third Symphony of his premiere at Kansas City Symphony. It's coming out in November, actually, the album. But he said, oh, Jason's fantastic, you should try him. And that's how I found Jason. Found out he had won a Grammy in 2015 for Best Classical Instrumental Solo. So that didn't hurt. And turned out he was a fantastic guy, real laid back, great player, obviously, but also really easy to work with. And the sessions I had with him were really memorable. I really enjoyed that.
But you brought her back to me for a moment.
Charlie, as far as the clarinet for If I, was recommended by Lori, because I think he had played this piece before with her, Not recorded it, though, but he's a longtime friend. And so he's also actually a member of the Manus faculty with me at the new school. So that also was, I think, a lovely connection between what I'm doing and Laurie.
If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life the aching, a cool one pays.
And then this piece by Bill Bolcom, Billy and the Darbies, again, only had been recorded once before. And again, something different than just piano and voice, and also a longer piece, sort of a centerpiece of the album, if you will, which is why it's programmed where it is in the content. And the Ataka Quartet, I went through a long process of trying to find a quartet, and I sent some material to Andrew Yee, who's sort of the de facto leader of the quartet, and told him, who I was, and he listened to some of my recordings and said, we'd really love to do this project with you. And as fate would have it, 3 weeks after we finished recording, they won a Grammy for Best Instrumental Ensemble in January of 2020, this year. So they weren't a Grammy-winning quartet when we recorded, but now they are. So that was actually quite fortuitous. But prior to that, of course, they were already well known. They're young, vibrant. They do a lot of new music, and it was through just some emails and people suggesting different quartets, and finally they accepted the project, having listened to some of my other recordings.
Good of the chaplain to enter Lone Bay and down on his marrow bones, hear and pray. For the likes just and the
William Bolcom's song Billy in the Darbies, to a text from Herman Melville's novel Billy Budd. That's the centerpiece of baritone Stephen Powell's new album American Composers at Play, featuring the Ataka String Quartet on that track. I'm talking with Steve Powell about his new album, with songs by William Bolcom, Ricky Ian Gordon, Laurie Lateman, and John Musto, all of them playing piano on this disc. There are also contributions from the guitarist Jason Vio, clarinetist Charles Neidich, and, as we just heard, the Ataka Quartet. Steve, I want to talk more about William Bolcom, somebody who has a huge legacy, not only as a composer, but as a longtime professor, teacher, instructor at the University of Michigan, just north of here. And you've sampled his cabaret songs on this disc. They're one of his best-known works. Of the songs here, I'd like to listen to the Song of Black Max, because that is a fun, fun song. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Black Max is probably one of his best, if not his best-known piano vocal piece. I remember in undergrad, when I was a piano major, I used to play it for singers in their lessons. So I knew Bill Bolcom's work, from a very young age as a musician. I also had the opportunity in the 90s when I was in the program, the Lyric Opera Center for American Artists, which is now, I think, called the Ryan Opera Center in Chicago.
Yeah.
I was in his small parts of his opera, McTeague, and I think you preceded me there in the program.
Yeah.
So I met him peripherally at that time, but of course I knew all about him. And then I had the great opportunity to premiere his new opera, Dinner at 8, I believe it was March of 2017, at Minnesota Opera. I played the role of Oliver Jordan. And so we got to talking much more in depth, and we had a lot of time to be together in that process. And we became friendly, and sort of that friendship and that time together culminated in, going after Bill, as it were, especially asking him to go back into the recording studio to do this album, American Composers at Play. He had said to me he thought he was done recording at his age, but he came out of retirement for me, which I'm very grateful for. So, but he's such a nice man. He's humble and soft-spoken and, you know, just easy to be around and easy to collaborate with. And that was just a joy to have that relationship come to be what it is. And now the cabaret songs, of course, he performed with his wife, Joan Morris, probably the greatest collaborator of his vocal music with him over the years. And those little snippets from different cabaret volumes, just to give an idea of the breadth of his work, you know, his ability to set a short text and a long text. And the Black Max song is such a great story. I was able to rehearse with him prior to our recording session and sit in his living room, which was great fun, and hear both he and Joan talk about how that song came to him and how it was told by this fella from Holland, the Netherlands, I think Rotterdam it takes place, and just this sort of folk story about this fellow Black Max who just sort of hung around and people saw him. And it was just sort of this iconic figure in this story that just became a great part of his literature that he wrote for voice and piano. So I had to include that. I felt like, you know, that's one of the songs where people say, oh, not another Black Max, or, you know, not another Copland's American songs, or so forth and so on. But I thought, well, I've never done it, and I think it's been a while since people have done it. I don't want it to get lost in the, you know, in the annals of new music that's being composed now. So I thought I'd include that, and it was great fun. It's just a fun piece. So that's why I included that. But his, like you say, his association with the University of Michigan, up there in Ann Arbor. 35 years, I think he was a composition professor before he retired. And there's another little interesting connection for me is my oldest son now attends University of Michigan. So we've had more time to spend in Ann Arbor and get to know the area. I have a couple of colleagues on the voice faculty there as well. So the whole area, you know, going to Bill's house, recording his songs actually in Ann Arbor, it was actually Plymouth, Michigan, but where he was comfortable, where he didn't have to travel very far. The whole experience for me was really Bolcom-centered. And that was a thrill. I mean, I'll never forget the time we had together, and I feel very fortunate that he was willing to, you know, participate in this project.
He was always dressed in black, long black jacket, broad black hat, sometimes a cape, and a spinning the harmonica, one hand free to lift that hat to me. Black Max, Black Max, Black Max.
The Song of Black Max, one of the cabaret songs by William Bolcom, sung by baritone Stephen Powell with the composer at the piano. I'm Brad Cresswell. I've got Stephen Powell on the phone with me to talk about his new album, Composers at Play, and we're listening to a few songs from the disc. Steve, you've sung on these great big stages. You've sung great big operas with orchestra, chorus, costumes, makeup, all that stuff. It's very different from what you're presenting here on this album, this chamber music, essentially, American art songs. Talk a little bit about the difference in your life for you personally in approaching these, and how kind of focusing everything down to a point for this recording has affected the way that you interpret it, or the way that you bring it to your audience.
Well, that's a good question. Obviously, there's vast differences between singing Rigoletto on a stage with a 3,000-seat house, and being in a small 500-seat recital theater with just piano. So, you know, recital music just doesn't get as much playtime, as it were. It's very difficult to program a recital, get one planned, and then have it performed with an audience that makes it worthwhile. Recital series are, you know, they're less and less a part of any group's artistic series, unless it's specifically for song, of which there are quite a few. But for me, I've always loved song. I wanted to be Billy Joel when I was growing up, so I sat at the piano and played and sang for hours and hours and hours growing up, until I became more familiar with the classical repertoire. But that's always been an interest of mine. My wife and I, Barbara Shervis, who's a soprano, we used to do three recitals together. And it was difficult to program, difficult to get people to put them on their series and for people to come. And I always thought that was a shame because there's so much literature. It's so rich in song, and especially in English language. So part of my interest in producing this project was to have that literature heard. And as a performer, the chance to sing in an intimate atmosphere with just piano, there's a lot of things you can do vocally that you can't think about or do on stage in a big role when you're trying to sing over an orchestra and fill a house. You have to be producing and really thinking of how grounded you are at every moment when you're on stage doing a role. It's not that you don't think of those things when you're singing songs, but you do have a little bit more leeway, a little few other things you can do with your voice. You don't have to worry about projecting to the end back of a hall that's so huge with terrible acoustics. You can be intimate with the music. You can do some softer and more tender, more intimate things with your voice. When you're lending, for instance, to texts of English, you know, to play with the words a little bit more and do some softer singing that is more descriptive of the text than perhaps you'd be able to do in a larger venue with your primary goal being heard. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry so much about that, you know, with just the piano behind you. And also in a recording studio, of course, that is enhanced. You can do even more. We're not used to having microphones to help us. So that's a thrill just to have that added addition to doing really soft things or very intimate things that you really couldn't, that wouldn't be heard in a big venue. So all those considerations between the composers wanting their songs to be heard and having a chance to perform that type of music really galvanized my energy to make this project happen. And English especially, you know, we do an awful lot of, in our college preparation, in our conservatories, preparation, and we need to, of other languages, German, French, Italian, especially in the art song repertoire, which is heavily German and French. So the English song and the ability to sing in the language in which you, you know, that's your native tongue, that's also special. And that was also part of my reason for doing this particular album, that I wanted to sing in English. I wanted to be able to convey ideas and themes and stories that were particularly American, even not just English, but American. And that was it's just a great joy as an artist, an American artist, to be able to do that and have the opportunity to sing these songs for that reason. That was another just personal reason and sort of selfish reason for me to want to do this project, that it gave me that opportunity to sing songs that were close to my heart and close to my upbringing and my experience as an American.
Well, I think that in the current situation with the pandemic and people being sequestered and cut off from each other, especially in the performing arts community, I think chamber music is stepping into the spotlight now. So many people recording songs and doing it on a small scale so they can share their art with other folks through the internet or through recordings. So it feels like this, you know, I hate to say this, but it came out at the right time. I mean, it's the time is ripe for people to garner a little more appreciation of this kind of music, because this may be where some of the future lies for many people.
Yes, agreed. And as you said, it's an awful reason for it to happen. But yes, the large venues obviously are closed to us. Concert halls and opera houses and theaters are dark. So people are trying to find ways to express, because we still all need that. And so, yes, the smaller, the chamber pieces, the piano-vocal collaboration are ways that you can still be safe on stage and still perform and create art. So, yeah, this literature then may be brought more to life and brought back to life. I was fortunate, actually. Obviously, no one knew the pandemic was coming, but we finished recording. The last session was February 17th, 2020. Mm. So I just squeezed in getting the final recording finished. So I'm fairly lucky, of course, not knowing any of this was going to happen. We wanted to release a little earlier in the year, but the pandemic did set us back a few months. But it is, I guess, I don't want to say fortuitous, because that suggests that the pandemic is a good thing. It's not. But yeah, it happened as it happened, and here we are. And I think recording is going to boom as well, because people still want to create, and live performance is going to take a while to come back. So yeah, streaming, you know, small things, smaller companies, smaller labels, I think are going to come to the fore in the next few years.
Yeah. I want to finish up with the final track on your album, and this is a beautiful song by Ricky Ian Gordon, which is almost 30 years old, but for some reason it seems to have a message that is just as important right now, and especially with what we've been talking about. It's called A Horse with Wings, a message of hope as well, involved in this piece, and beautiful music. Is there anything else that you want to say to folks who maybe listening to this music for the first time before we turn it over to Ricky?
Well, only that all this music that's on this album is worth hearing. These are giants. The four composers are giants in song literature, in not just American composition, but in song composition as a whole. They're bright, still composing, still full of energy, still avidly producing and creating. During this whole project, they all had their own other things going on, and they stopped in order to come in to record with me. But for instance, the title track, or the first track, I should say, Wind Size by Laurie Lateman, isn't even published yet. It's part of an ongoing commission of the opera Ludlow that I believe she's going to finish later in the spring of 21. But, you know, Bill was writing a piano concerto, and Ricky was having some other operas produced at the same time, his opera Ellen West. He came out of rehearsal in January to come to the studio to record his songs with me, and then he went back to Ellen West into the orchestral tech the next day for that. So it's vital to understand that, you know, there's still this compositional beauty coming from these people, and a plethora of works that are still out there to be heard. So everything on this disc, I think, is accessible. I wanted to make it accessible to first-time listeners, and it's the poetry makes it worthwhile. They're just greatly crafted pieces. So I hope that people will find some meaning in at least a few of the songs and can relate to what's being written and what they hear in their own lives, and find some hope and for the future, and some joy in the music that they hear.
I've been speaking with baritone Stephen Powell, whose new album is called American Composers at Play, featuring music by four living composers: William Bolcom, Ricky Ian Gordon, Laurie Lateman, and John Musto, and all four of them performing on piano in their own music. Also featured on this disc, clarinetist Charles Neidich, guitarist Jason Vio, and the Ataka String Quartet. Wonderful collaboration, wonderful music, and so beautifully and vibrantly performed by Stephen Powell. Steve, I want to thank you for spending time and talking about this album, and thank you so much for joining us here on FM 91.
Well, Brad, it's been a pleasure. I thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. Thank you.
For those that live and those that die.